Well, good evening, church. How's everybody this evening? Hope everyone has had a good day today and a good day be in the Lord's house and worship Him. And one of the ways to worship Him is to sing a song to Him. And so let's stand and sing number 217, Oh, How I Love Jesus. 217.
Be in the 46th Psalm tonight. And tonight we're going to, as we know, first of all, welcome everybody tonight out to our Sunday evening service. Whether you're here tonight or you're joining us on social media or maybe listening to the radio, we thank you for joining us tonight. We know a lot of people are traveling with the holiday weekend. We kind of get back to the grind tomorrow, though. So, yeah, I heard that grunt. We're going to go into the 46th Psalm tonight, and we're really going to kind of do a word study tonight on the words of the 46th Psalm. We're going to read all 11 verses of it, but we're really going to focus on the first three. And maybe go down through five, if time permits and the Lord allows. But we're really going to focus on the first three verses of Psalm 46. And I like to do word studies. As you know, if you've heard any of the messages or Sunday school lessons that the Lord's allowed me to do, I'm very big on preparation. I'm very big on study. Probably for every 30 minutes that I teach or I preach, there's as much of that that goes into preparation, if not more. I'm really big on that. And I really get into word study, and probably sometimes a little too much. But I really like, before it was all made available online, and before it was all put into our phones, speaking of which, I've got notes everywhere, by the way. I've got notes on paper. I got notes written in my Bible. I got notes on my phone. So I'm going to pull this out and get a few notes off of here, too. But I really like to study the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament to find out what words really mean. And the reason for that, one of the reasons for that, is that in the English language, we love our car like we love our wife, like we love our pizza. We have one word for love, and love, as we know, has many different meanings. But in the English language, we only have one word for it. The Greeks had at least four different words for it. Some people think they have as many as seven for it. And if you go up into some of the northern cultures, up into the Alaskan region and the Pacific Island nations and territories, you'll find that they have a word for snow, but they have about 20 different words for different types of snow and different types of connotations. So the Greeks especially, Paul, when he wrote Scripture, in the New Testament, he was a wordsmith, and he knew how to use the Greek language most effectively. Now, this psalm that we're going to, it uses the Hebrew language in much the same way. And so we're going to study that tonight. And if I had a title for this message tonight, it would simply be Refugees. And we hear that word a lot. We hear that word a lot in our culture today, refugees. And we usually hear it as people fleeing something, people fleeing a type of danger to seek shelter or to seek refuge or to seek a safe place. And we're going to study this tonight, and I want to read the 11 verses of Psalm 46. And it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. No. Got two pages stuck together here. Hold on. Jumped over to chapter 49. Let's go back here. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. Verse 9. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Again, we do the word study here. And let me give you a little background on Psalm 46. This was not a psalm written by David. Most of the psalms were written by David. This one, however, was not. The background of this is... This seems to be written as a hymn for congregational worship. And the possible background that scholars and theologians have studied on this seem to suggest that this is a song of God's deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, and at any time during the past quarter, we've talked about the death and destruction and the desolation and all of the things that have happened to the city of Jerusalem as a result of God's chastisement toward them. Now, this song was written as a song of praise for deliverance from the Assyrians. And it was written for the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, which is a song. And what that means is these were written, this particular psalm is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. The sons of Korah were Levites and from the family of Kohath. And by David's time, it seems that they served in a musical aspect of temple worship. They also are a reference of having a history of praising God, and that's over in 2 Chronicles 20. Again, that ties into Sunday school because this morning we studied out of 2 Chronicles as well. So, when I was studying this, it amazes me how God puts things together like that, how He ties things together like that. So when we go into this, these verses, the first thing that these verses say is God is our refuge. And if you had to define refuge, how would you define that? How would you define that word, refuge? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. That's how we think about refugees. They're seeking a safe place from danger or trouble or from pursuit. And a refuge is also defined as something that provides shelter. And Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives several synonyms of what refuge is. It says, see also protection. And we go over into 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Now, we talked this morning in Sunday school as well of what is the bridge of relevance here? How does Psalm 46 apply to our lives today? This is Old Testament scripture. How does it apply to our lives today? This says our God is our refuge. And that word our there means that He can be our refuge if we belong to Him. That's the relevance. We have to belong to God to seek refuge and shelter in Him. The Bible says in another place that God does not hear the prayer of the sinners. He will only hear one prayer, and that's the prayer of repentance. And so, in order to seek refuge in God, in order to seek that shelter that God provides, as defined by our standard dictionary, we have to first belong to Him. To be able to call Him our refuge and our strength and our very present help in a time of trouble, in order for that word our there is a sense of belonging. And we have to belong to Him. So the word refuge also has a connotation of safety. And Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. He says, Scripture says in another place, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. He is a safe shelter and a safe haven in which we can find rest. And He says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you shelter. I will give you refuge. Our God is our refuge. And it's security and sanctuary and perseverance, safekeeping, a safe haven, a retreat. Those are all synonyms that the Merriam-Webster dictionary gives for the word refuge. And that's what it's talking about here. But all of these are characteristics of God, and they're present and evident in those who belong, believe, and trust in Him. But we have to belong to Him, we have to believe in Him, and put our full faith and trust in Him for Him to be that refuge that He promised to be. But what does the original Hebrew word mean? Here's where we get into the nuts and bolts, the brass tacks, if you will, of what refuge means. When we get into the original Hebrew word of what it means. And I found this interesting, and I hope you will too. The word is mahase, which means, one, to shelter from a storm, as we would relate that into our dictionary definition of refuge. But it also means to shelter from falsehood. Now, if we cross-reference the Old Testament to the New, Scripture will back up Scripture, and all types of places in the New Testament warn about falsehood. And if you're going to, if God is going to be your refuge, surely you're going to have to trust in Him to not only guard you against the physical dangers that you may have, but certainly the spiritual dangers that you will have. And certainly in this day and age, one of the greatest spiritual dangers, it's false doctrine. It's falsehood. So the original Hebrew word deals with false doctrine and the protection from hearing a word that is not of God, a false word, one that is not true. And God, belonging to God and studying to show ourselves approved and showing ourselves to know what God says and to know when a word strikes a bad chord in our minds and our hearts, to know, to have studied and to know and to seek that refuge in God and to seek God's guidance on whether a word is true or not. It guards against falsehood, the refuge. He provides us with refuge, the shelter from storms, both physical and spiritual. This is scriptural in 2 Timothy 4:3. And this is talking about in the last days, but it's also talking about the time that we're living in. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That's where we are today. That's why we need to find our refuge in God, to know who we belong to and to know the truth of the gospel and to know the truth of Scripture. That's why we need to study what the Word says and what the words mean and what the real connotation of this of these words in the Scripture is. We need to know, thank you, we need to know what the Scripture says, and we need to study to show ourselves approved, but we need to find refuge in God in knowing that if we hear a teaching, or if we hear a preaching, or if we hear a word from Him, whether it's correct and it's not false doctrine and it's not a falsehood, the refuge protects us from that. It teaches us that if we're willing to belong to Him, if we're willing to study and know, to show ourselves approved, and we find that refuge in God, and that security in God, in knowing that His Word is true, His Word is infallible, His Word is inerrant. And if we study and know that is the truth, then we'll know immediately. It's like hitting a bad note on the piano, or hearing a bad note being sung. It immediately resonates with you, and you know something's not right. So we seek that refuge that it talks about in 2 Timothy 4:3 about the false doctrine. And about the falsehoods of things. And God offers refuge against it through His Word and the truth therein. So God is our refuge, a physical protection, a physical protection, but also a spiritual protection that we can rely upon and trust in through His holy word and through what He has all of the promises that He has given all throughout Scripture. Well, He's a God of refuge, but that verse goes on to say there in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength. Aren't you glad that you're on the right side? Aren't you glad that you have a God that fights your battles for you? A mighty, powerful God. That there was one point in Scripture there where it was asked, God allowed the armies and the angels that were encamped all around about them to be seen, and there were numerous angels around fighting our battles for us. I'm glad God fights our battles for us. I'm glad He's our strength. Because what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Through the strength of God that strengthens me, I can do all things. I can't do anything by myself. Like they sang this morning, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. A God of strength. Again, the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition is the quality or state of being physically strong, the capacity of an object to, or substance to withstand great force or pressure. Now, that's a good, accurate definition. But what's the Hebrew word say? What does the biblical word say about it? The Hebrew word is oz, O-Z. And the Hebrew translation, strength in various applications, whether it be by force, whether it be by security, by majesty, or praise, through boldness, a loud, mighty, powerful, and strong entity. That describes my God. That describes our God. A loud, bold, mighty, powerful, majestic force that provides security and is worthy of praise. That describes our God. That describes the strength of our God. That describes the strength of a God that fights our battles for us. That describes the strength of a God that we can fully put our trust in and know that He will be there to fight our battles and lead us through the storms in our life, whether they be physical or spiritual. That refuge that He promised us and that strength that is behind His power and majesty. The God of the universe, the God that spoke all of everything into existence, is the same God that is on a personal relationship with those that belong to Him and can answer my prayers and can fight my battles and can provide a refuge and a strength for me that no other person or no other entity ever could come close to do. That's our God. A forceful God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. We don't serve a dead God. All other religions, you can go find the bones of those that they worship. But not our God. Our God is living and active. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints, and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Our strong God, our mighty and strong and powerful refuge and strength that is our God, He is mighty and powerful, and His word cuts stronger than any two-edged sword, and He discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You go throughout Scripture, Jesus, who had all power and authority of God, always dealt with the spiritual as well as the physical. He was concerned with the heart. He was concerned with the heart conditions of people He was also concerned with their physical conditions as he did miracles and had the power and authority of God, the might of God behind him. And he healed and did many miracles, but he was concerned with the heart condition of people. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's a strong and mighty God, and that's the God that we serve. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I'm glad he's on my side. I wouldn't want him fighting against me. How about the majestic God? Again, another song that was sang this morning, if you noticed, was page 215, Majesty, a Majestic God. 1 Chronicles 29:11 is the scripture reference here. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. What a mighty God we serve. There's another hymn, an old hymnal. What a mighty God we serve. Psalm 145:5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. That's David's writing. Again, another Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The strength of God, the majesticness of God. There were many, David wrote many, many psalms about the splendor and majesty of God. And that goes right into the strength and the refuge that he is, that he provides us. Psalm 93:1, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. In Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's Jesus Christ. And the Father of all the universe. And he is seated. Jesus is seated in a position of majesty and strength and might and power. And that's the God that we can trust in. That's the God that we can seek refuge and strength in. We can be spiritual refugees seeking strength in the power and might of God. A God of very present help. This is just verse 1. This is all in the first verse of the 46th Psalm. Talking about the glory, the gloriousness and the majesty and the power and the might and the refuge that we can seek in God. And then it concludes with a God of a very present help. Very present. One that is to be found immediately. One that is to be found currently. One that is to be found ever present. Always there. Omniscient. Omnipotent. A God that is always there to hear your prayer, to hear my prayer. That goes again to the majesty and the power of God. Is that very present help in a time of trouble. I could call on God, you could call on God at the same time I call upon him, and this mighty powerful God is still personal enough to hear each and every prayer. Help. I thought this was interesting. The Hebrew word for help is Ezra. To offer assistance. In a physical and spiritual way. One that is to be found to offer assistance. That's a very present help in a time of trouble. What trouble? Physical? perhaps spiritual. How about both? Look at Luke 15, the parable of the 99 and the one lost sheep. That's New Testament. That's Old Testament referencing New Testament. Luke 15. He goes, he's a very present help in a time of trouble. We read all through Scripture where people called upon their God for help in a time of trouble, and he was there. He answered. We read through the Psalms. Read some of the lament Psalms that David wrote while he was fleeing from Saul. If ever there was a man that sought refuge physically, he wrote a lot of these psalms. He wrote a lot of these psalms from a cave that he was hiding in when he was running from Saul. He didn't particularly write this one, but he wrote a lot of them. He was seeking refuge. He was seeking physical refuge from a king that was out to kill him. And he was seeking spiritual refuge by writing these praises and these hymns to God. He knew who the God he served. A God of refuge, a God of strength, and a God of very present help in a time of trouble. So verses 2 through 3. That's just the first verse. Verses 2 through 3. Therefore, Gary Edwards always said when you run into Scripture and you run into the word therefore, you need to realize what it was there for. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. What does that mean? What is the meaning of those two verses, verses 2 through 3? Verse 3, therefore, we will not fear. Our God is a God of refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, because of that, because we serve a God that way, because we serve a God of refuge, because we serve a God that we can seek shelter and trust in, because we seek a God of mighty power and majesty and strength, because we serve a God that's a very present help in a time of trouble, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth should change, this world is changing every day. The world that we live in changes every day. What may have been the law or what we followed yesterday may not be today. The earth is changing physically. The earth is changing politically. The earth is changing in every way that you can imagine. And for the most part, it's not for the good. So therefore, we will not fear, even if the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. What that's saying is, even if the worst possible scenario, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of, should the earth even just fade away? Should it fall into the sea? Whatever should happen. Therefore, we will not fear because we serve a God of refuge, strength, and very present help. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake in its swelling pride, we will not fear because we have a God of refuge and strength and very present help in a time of trouble. And that word Selah there, that's pretty much the Hebrew word for amen. Let it be so. That's what amen means. Let it be. Let it be so. So, we go into verses 4 and 5. I want to go into verses 4 and 5 really quickly here. Because it's really the kind of the payoff for the first three verses here. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What do you think that's talking about? That's talking about heaven. That's talking about New Jerusalem. That's talking about the river whose streams make glad the city of God. We're going to get to see that one day if you belong to Him. Again, our refuge and strength. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Salah. Or amen. Let it be. That's the hope. That's the blessed assurance of putting our trust in God as our refuge and our strength and our very present help in a time of trouble. But none of that can be possible without our belonging to Him. And that's where this bridge is over to salvation. That's where this bridge is over to the cross. That's where this Old Testament looks forward to what's going to be done at the cross. The Old Testament looks forward to what will be done at the cross. The New Testament looks back to what was done at the cross. The Old Testament here, this psalm looks forward to what's going to be done at the cross. Our God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in a time of trouble. That can only be possible if we belong to Him. And how do we belong to Him? We accept His gift of salvation. We accept the free gift. We accept that God, in His infinite power, majesty, strength, and help. See, God exhibited all of this through His Son, Jesus Christ, in His walk to Calvary, in His journey on the cross, in His resurrection, and His ascension, and His coming back. God displayed all of this. How so? Remember when Jesus started His walk to Calvary? We call it Passion Week. What was He doing? He was praying to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying to the Father. Not my will, Father, but Thy will be done. If there's any way that this cup can pass from me, let it be so. But if there's no other way, if there's no other way, I'm willing to go. You talk about a physical man. Jesus was all man and all God. You talk about a physical man that had some strength about him. Look what he went through. He prayed so hard that his sweat became as drops of blood, a literal medical condition, that his sweat became as drops of blood. And he went to his arrest. And he went to a false trial. And they sentenced him to a scourging, where they tied him to a post and beat him mercilessly. Most people didn't even survive that. He went. He survived the scourging. You know why? It was God's will. And you know why also? Because he had all power and authority of God, and he had the strength of an almighty God through a physical specimen on this earth, through a fleshly man robed in flesh. God incarnate, robed in flesh, had the strength and the power of a mighty God robed around him to withstand the scourging that he would take, to withstand the plucking of his beard, to withstand all of these things that he would go through on his journey to the cross. And why did he do that? He did that for you. Our God, when you say our God is our refuge, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane for help. He was praying for a refuge, not because he didn't want to go through it. He knew he was going to be separated from the Father. That's why he was praying. Not because of the physical things that he was going to go through, but God prepared him. He said, Think about the setting that Jesus was set in. He was set as the son of a carpenter, so that he would grow up as a carpenter to be a strong physical specimen. God had that already in place. God is our refuge and our strength. Jesus Christ, as he started his journey to Calvary, he had to seek that power of God that was refuge. And he had to seek that power of God that was strength. And he had to seek that power of God that was an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And he had all authority and power of God to do all of that. So Jesus went to Calvary. And he withstood all of that for us. And he withstood all of that so that we can go back and we can claim that God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in a time of trouble. And if you don't belong to him and you can't claim him as yours, there's an open altar. You don't have to be physically present here. You can pray where you are tonight. If you're following us on social media, you can pray where you are tonight. If you cannot say that God is my refuge, if you cannot say that I serve a God that I can seek comfort in, that I can seek shelter in, that I can seek refuge in, if you can't say that I serve a God that is of almighty power and strength and will be a help to me in an ever-present, and is an ever-present help to me in a time of trouble, if you can't say that, if you don't belong to him, today's the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. And I would invite you, if you don't know him, you can know him tonight. So to conclude this message, are we serving a God who is your refuge? Are you serving a God who is your shelter? Are you seeking shelter in God? Or are you trying to seek shelter in other things that will never fill the void? One who shelters you from pursuit. One who shelters you from trouble. One who shelters you from danger. One who shelters you physically and spiritually from these things. Spiritually, most importantly. Whether it be the pursuit of Satan's wiles and temptations, the trouble with your physical or spiritual life, God can be a refuge for you. God will be a refuge for you. He promised that he would be. Or are you facing spiritual danger? See, after this life, it's appointed and a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment and the danger of an eternity without him means that you'll no longer be sheltered. You'll no longer have a refuge. You'll no longer have a safe space to abide in God. Hell was not made for you. And it certainly isn't a safe space. You go there, you'll be a trespasser. Are you serving a God who is your strength? Where do we find our strength today? Is it in God? Is it in a trust in the almighty, powerful, majestic God of the universe? A God of might, of majesty, one who's worthy of praise? Are we serving a God who is a ready and omniscient, ever-present help in these times of desperation and trouble? The praise group sang a song not too long ago called We Believe. And the first words of that song is, in this time of desperation. When all we know is dark and fear. There's only one salvation. And we believe in that. God the Father. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that he's coming back again. Do you believe that? Are you afraid of something? The Bible says not only in 46:2 of Psalm, or 46:3, therefore we will not fear. The last time that I was able to fill this pulpit. I preached a message on boldness and how Paul, who wrote, and Peter were not afraid. They even, in the midst of persecution, said, "We have no choice but to proclaim the gospel. We cannot be silent." Are you afraid of something? Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because our God, my God, your God, if you belong to Him, the one who should be and can be your God, is our refuge, our strength, and the very present help in a time of trouble. You don't know Him tonight. You have the invitation. And that's God's word for you this evening. A God of refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Thank you all for allowing me to speak tonight. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for the water, too.
Thank you.